Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. How are we doing, Andy?
Doing great, Jimmy. How are you?
I am very good, Andy. And you want to know, here's one of the reasons why I'm doing well, okay? This should sound familiar to you. We've got multiple lists to look at today. You know I love my lists, right?
Just someone get Jimmy a bag of Oreos and some chocolate milk, because he's good. That's all you need. You just need to sit, dunk your Oreos in your chocolate milk, because that's the best way to have them. Come on, let's be honest. And sit there and read your list, because how could you be any happier? You've got lists, which, first of all, that covers 80% of it. And I say you add Oreos and chocolate milk, that finishes it.
Yum. Oreos and chocolate milk.
Yes! It's old school, the best.
Andy, you had me with Oreos and chocolate milk. You didn't even need to add anything else. I'm good at that point. But
we
do. Do you know what? You know what we got to do one of these weeks? Speaking of lists,
yes.
Maybe we need to get our list of favorite Oreo flavors, because there's so many different incarnations. There's,
right,
you know, the double stuffing. There's peanut butter. There's mint. There's chocolate, or we'll do that one of these weeks. But Andy, here are the lists that we've got to look at today. Okay. There's two lists, both with the Big Ten. One, simply a power ranking of the teams. The other one, a ranking of the coaches. And you and I were talking about, but the coaches ranking is probably more interesting than the power rankings, and there's more meat on that bone. But instead of typically when we have these kind of lists, I'll send you the list that I saw from some writer, some organization, and I'll ask you to put together your own list. Correct. I didn't ask you to do that for today's show, but what I want you to do is comment on these two lists. And let me just real quick, let's start with the power rankings of the teams. Let me at least give you a top 10, and we can start the conversation from there. Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Michigan, USC, Washington, Penn State, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota. I don't know if I went 10, 11, whatever, but those are the top teams.
You got to 10. Good job counting, Jimmy. That's two hands of five fingers each. Great job.
We didn't go beyond that because I would have had to take off my shoes. So at the very top, Andy, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, an obvious top three, I think. Any problem with that being your first cutoff right there? And any problem with those three teams being at the top?
Yes and yes.
Wow.
I think you cut it off at two. The Big Ten has not proven itself at the college football playoff level. Granted, it is the winner of the both 12-team college football playoff national championships, right? So they've won the last two national championships. At the highest level, they're the best of the best. But it's not great after that, Jimmy. The results are not good at all. They're not very deep. They're not getting four or five teams into the college football playoffs that are legitimate. Let's just say this, too. I have a problem with Oregon at three, Jimmy. I think you have to kind of think about Michigan ahead of them. Oregon, regular season stud, right? Postseason dud. That's it. They have one win. They won the Big Ten championship against Penn State 2 years ago. Good football game. Got embarrassed in the college football playoffs, won a decent college football playoff game, got embarrassed in the college football playoffs again. There's a pattern here that they win regular season games and then they kind of fall flat on their face and on some of the brightest and biggest stages. And I don't mean getting beat. I mean getting gobsmacked, run over, not competitive football games. So for me, I'm like kind of thinking, what? what gives Oregon straight right passage to number three? Dante Moore's coming back as a quarterback. I get it. But that's the same thing if you look at, like, the top eight, you know, six teams, the top six teams, they all have their quarterback back except Indiana. But that's where the magic dust gets sprinkled in. But for me, I'm like, it's Ohio State, Indiana, stopgap. That is your cutoff. Until the Big Ten proves itself to have more next-level depth in this 12-team college football playoff field, I'm stopping there, and I'm not sure. And I get it. I understand why Oregon, generally speaking, Oregon's third. I think I could make a strong case for Kyle Whittingham. Hello, horse for the course. Loves to coach a style of football that Michigan's roster is built for. With a young, good quarterback already in place, I think there's a case for Michigan and even an outside case for USC over Oregon in my book, but that's just me. But and I'm not a Duck hater. I just don't think they perform well at next level games. Even if you go back to when they were playing Washington in the Big 12 and Washington was making its run, they were losing those football games, Jimmy. So that's just where under Dan Lanningham and where Oregon's at. Look, you don't want to play them in the regular season, but you take your chances with them in the playoffs. So there, I turned the apple cart upside down a little for you, Jimmy, right out of the gate.
You did. I tell you what, you preempted my follow-up questions. You did everything. Now, I am not in agreement on Oregon for a couple reasons. Yes, they did get gobsmacked the last 2 years in the playoffs. I think the first year, what's Ohio interesting, State. Ohio State and then Indiana. So they got gobsmacked back-to-back years by the national champions.
Correct.
Both years by the Big Ten team that became the national champion. The year 2 years ago when they lost to Ohio State in the playoffs, they had beaten them in the regular season.
Correct.
So I don't think a gobsmacking in the playoffs means they didn't. Heck, if you're going to be, you know, you get gobsmacked by one of these really good teams, so you're not so good, you better put Alabama in that category also.
Right. I'm talking, though, Jimmy, these games weren't very competitive. Think back to Ohio State. 10 minutes gone. That game's – you're like
– Alabama wasn't so competitive against Indiana either. Indiana was just a really good team.
Good football team. Although Miami found a way to compete against them, didn't they? Well, you could lose.
So did Penn State, so –
Right. You can lose and like you cost yourself the game, but you have to be competitive at this next level, Jimmy. That's sort of the thing is like, you know, it looked like Oregon playing Maryland in week 8, right? Like that's what those games look like. That's what they look like competitive wise. So I'm looking at that, but I'm sorry to upset your apple cart, but
my apple cart, consider it upset, Andy. And then I was going to actually ask you next, you want to put Michigan there. I was going to ask you, did you really believe that does Michigan deserve number four? Thinking, you know, maybe they don't even deserve that level.
So I think Michigan and USC and Oregon are a grouping, right? They're kind of all they kind of have the potential to be all the same for me. I think Ohio State and Indiana is one pack in the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten, be honest with you, Jimmy, I'd like to see more next level depth out of them, right? I'd like to see better football from four or five teams instead of like this uber elite football that you're getting from two football teams, right? I'd like to see a little bit more depth meat on the bone. And I think this year, I think Oregon, Michigan, and USC, I think Washington's on the outside looking in. They're that third level. But I think your next level is Oregon, Michigan, USC. Those teams could be 3, 4, and 5. I'd love to see the Big Ten get at least two more teams into the college football playoffs by virtue of being 10-win teams and competitive and having big wins. Well, I think that helps the conference. And I think these three teams are the potential to have one or two more teams in the college football playoff. They're the highest, they're the best group of three.
Andy, well, a couple things where I differ. Oregon, their last two regular season, their record is 21-1.
Correct. Regular season stud.
I don't think you have to trivialize that. Nope. Along with that regular season, it includes also a Big Ten championship win.
Correct.
It also does include a playoff win.
One playoff win, back-to-back 12-team playoff appearances, all of it.
I think that puts them above, definitively ahead of Michigan in this pecking order. And I think it does put them in that same Ohio State, Indiana. Maybe of the three, I'd rank Oregon third of the three, but I would still put them well above that next tier of anybody else in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But we can agree to disagree. I don't. You make a cogent argument, Jimmy. It's valid. It's all valid. I look at like, okay, so if you're that good and you get to the next level, what does it look like when you're there? Like you almost pencil Oregon in now as a next level, sort of like the Ohio State, right? I don't know. Is Indiana a penciling team already, Jimmy? I don't know. Yeah, right. Like we're both kind of like, I can't say no because that would be like dissing them. But really, are you ready to say yes and pencil them in? But I think Oregon is at that level. But when they get to that next level, okay, then you become measured by it's not getting to the next level. Then they're able to stay there. They're not able to accomplish much at the next level. So, and they're sort of the team in the bracket that I think everyone else, you know, the teams that are really competitive in the bracket, they look like, hey, Oregon's in our bracket. We'll take that. That's what you think.
See, I don't think that's really the case. I think all right. When you reach that level, you know, when you're at the playoff football, they are 1-2 in their three games. Okay. And their two losses, yeah, they were bad losses. They were embarrassing losses. But they were also against the eventual national champion.
Don't care. But be competitive. And,
well, both those teams over the last 2 years, Ohio State, the level they were playing in 24 and the level Indiana was playing in 25, I'm not going to say that was putting their best foot forward, but, you know, you still got to say, that's the national champion. All right, Andy, we didn't get very far on our agenda. That's okay. We'll pick it up right after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, it did not take us long to disagree in quarter number one, which meant we used up the whole segment at the top of this list. We're looking at two different lists, both the Big Ten, one ranking the teams, the other one ranking the coaches. We got as far as the very top of the team rankings, Ohio State, Indiana. I think Oregon should definitely be part of that top tier, top three teams. Andy's not so sure. He's lobbying for Michigan. Let's get to that second tier, though, Andy. And the question is where the cutoff is. In this power ranking, it has, well, let's say Oregon third, Michigan fourth, USC, Washington, Penn State, Iowa, Illinois. Is that the proper tier two, or where do you cut off?
I cut off at USC for the second tier. Whether you include Oregon as the top tier, so I do Ohio State, Indiana are elite. Oregon, on the fence for me, in for you. So, okay, I go Michigan, USC, and then I draw the line of where I think you have measurable, legitimate college football playoff / Big Ten contenders. That's where I draw the line. I draw the line at USC and say, these five teams, I think, are the cream of the crop. And I think Ohio State and Indiana are elite. You include an Oregon in an elite. I don't. It doesn't matter. These are the five teams that it would be nice to for the Big Ten to have some more say in the college football playoff and get some more teams on there. I think these five teams all have potential to win 10 football games. I really do. So that's my line. How deep would you go, Jimmy?
Well, I would put Oregon's either the top of this tier two or the bottom of tier one.
Correct. Either way.
I would put them in tier one only because I can see them competing against those two teams more so than I see the rest of tier two competing with Oregon. Michigan, USC, Washington, Penn State. I think I group that four because there's enough question marks in this group to, yeah, I could see them at the top of this group or not. You know, Penn State and Michigan both, part of my issue where I don't have Michigan quite as high as you do. I like Kyle Whittingham as a coach. I do like the fit at Michigan, but this is still a changeover at Michigan. I'll be curious to see if it holds. And this is Michigan, remember, that had been down for a couple after their national championship. Things got, you know, were a little shaky a bit. Yeah. I'll be curious there. USC, so, go ahead.
I'm right. I can extend out and I can ride Washington with you because at Washington, that sort of draws the line for the quarterbacks, right? Other than Illinois, you go through the top six, the other five teams, Indiana, Oregon, Michigan, USC, and Washington, all bringing their quarterback back, right? So that's sort of the piece of the pie. I leave Washington. I put Washington in the third tier and leave them out. Despite having their quarterback, lost their stud running back, lost their wide receiver one. Those two guys were a huge part with the quarterback of what Washington did last year. I think the quarterback's still the best player on the roster and can carry them far. You need to know more about what they've got around them because in some cases, I'd say, you know, they lost a top two or three player in the Big Ten at that position, at those two positions, and that's going to leave a mark. But they're still up there lurking. I definitely would sort of put them in that category. But right there, that is your demarcation line of your quarterbacks, Jimmy. That's a common theme other than Indiana, but.
Well, I have questions on all of those, what we're calling tier two teams, Andy, but I could see a world where any one of them could rise and make the playoffs.
The next tier,
Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, I can't see them making the playoffs. I see them winning, all of them winning like eight or nine games, and that's the top. Before we get to the coaches, and I know we're going to have a lot to say there, just the rest of the grouping, anything surprise you? Any names pop out?
From Can I where go back were? 1 second, yeah. Jimmy? Where did you
Only
put
Only one
Penn
second,
State?
Though. Go ahead.
Where did you put Penn State? I missed it.
Oh, I have Penn State in this tier two group.
Really?
And yeah, I think that there's that they have a lot more going from. I'm higher on them than you are, and I know there's probably a little bit of bias on my part, but I think they got the right coach. I think they got the right players that they brought in from Iowa State, and I think they still have talent remaining, a carryover from, you know, the last year's Penn State roster. Not to mention that easy peasy schedule. Maybe that's
They have a favorable schedule. Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's part of it. All right.
Okay.
Just the rest of the teams, is there anything there? And I'll just read them off. Nebraska, Northwestern, UCLA, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue. Anything strike you?
Well, if you look at it, that's sort of, yeah, that's the second half, right? You've got names like coaching names like Matt Rhule, Luke Fickell, and Pat Fitzgerald. You know what I mean? Greg Schiano. Those teams are down there with pretty decent football coaches, but they all have massive turnover. Like I would say they're all 25, 30 plus transfer portal roster turnover. You know what I mean? 3 to 5 starters back, or known players, et cetera, et cetera. New coaches, UCLA, you know, I go as far down as Illinois. I stop at 9, Jimmy, and then 10 through 18 are all 500 plus teams. And if they get to, 7-5, good for them. But I don't see anybody being a 9 or 10 win football team. And Illinois is stretching a little bit, but they stop at 9. Beyond that, yeah.
The only thing that sticks out for me is where Wisconsin is like 14th. I'm not. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that ranking.
I don't have
a problem for is overall. You know, Luke Fickell went there. I think the last thing in the world we expected was them to be that low. Nebraska still waiting for that.
Still
team
waiting,
to,
and they lost their quarterback. Waiting. Right, we're still waiting.
Okay. Let's go to the coaching side, Andy, because I know we'll have a lot here. At the top, Kurt Cignetti, Ryan Day, Dan Lanning. Fourth is Michigan. Gee, surprise, surprise, the exact same top four as the power ranking. The only difference is Cignetti ahead of Ryan Day. Let's start with that. Cignetti versus Ryan Day. You okay with Cignetti ranked higher than?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Kurt Cignetti is a way better football coach, pure in the purest terms, right? Like Kurt Cignetti's just got more football coach chops than Ryan Day every day and twice on Sunday. Right? I'm not saying Ryan Day sucks or is a bad football coach. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying head to head, those two football coach chops versus football coach chops, X's and O's, motivating, able to make chicken salad out of chicken. You know what? A little bit of evaluation process. Don't forget, I mean, sort of Ryan Day's kind of the golden spoon kid now, right? Kurt Cignetti sort of made Ryan Day the golden spoon. He's the kid that grew up with the golden spoon. He's got all the best recruits. They get the most talent. They had the most money. Kurt Cignetti's like, well, I'll just coach my butt off and outpace you by doing it the way I did it, just like I did it at IUP in Division II, the way I did it in James Madison. I don't know any different. I'm an old dog that you can't teach new tricks. And guess what? My old dog tricks work. So it's Kirk Cignetti by a mile, Ryan Day a distant second in the thoroughbred race.
As it was once stated, Ryan Day was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. So right. What's interesting, though, to this, Andy, in the power ranking and in the coaches ranking, obviously there'll be some correlation. These were two different writers of articles, two different lists, two different everything. Do you know that nine of the 18 rankings are identical between the coaching and the team ranking? And that's not even counting Cignetti and Ryan Day, who are 1-2 and 2-1 on the two. That would have been 11 out of 18. So it's obvious that you take the, where the team finishes. So Ryan Day, I keep wondering, do we really know how good a coach Ryan Day is? Because he always has the best talent.
He's a very good offensive coach, Jimmy. He's a very good offensive coach. I will give him that. Like, he would be a great NFL OC. Not great. I think he would be a very good NFL OC. He's a good offensive football coach.
Well, where I've always brought this up, Andy, is you had both Greg Schiano and Ryan Day as coordinators at Ohio State. One offense, one on defense. And then they become head coaches. One becomes head coach of Ohio State. The other one becomes head coach of Rutgers. Do a swap there. If Ryan Day were at Rutgers and Greg Schiano at Ohio State, how would this coaching ranking look?
Well, I don't. If Ryan Day had to go to Rutgers, he still wouldn't be there. Let's just say that he wouldn't have the longevity at that. That's a difficult. That's a long walk home one. And yeah, I don't know. We've never seen Schiano. I mean, he was an NFL coach and he was just terrible. Just awful, like horrible, awful. So we've never seen Schiano with sort of racehorses at the college level. So,
well he did in his previous stint at Rutgers, he had them, you know, late in the season as ranked in the top five. Okay. So it was a heck of a performance even then.
A one trick pony, but Ryan Day's done this over a longer haul. So I don't think you'd see Ryan Day at Rutgers, but let's just say you'd probably see Schiano in the top five for sure if he was at Ohio State. Let's put it that way.
And that's, you know, when next segment we're going to be doing Ask Andy. So when we come back, though, in quarter four, we're going to pick up this conversation.
What I got I'm a lot ask more. You
is in this list somewhere else, Andy, are there coaches here that are doing the job, but we don't really know it because they're at a program that's hard to compete? I know Kurt Cignetti took Indiana, and that would have been a job we would have described that way. But are there coaches elsewhere on the list? We'll get to that in quarter four, but first, it's Ask Andy right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three, which means it's time for your questions and we ask Andy. Tell you what, Andy, I didn't take note of this, but I'll ask these as the first two questions. This is Northeast Pennsylvania, first Scranton and then Kingston. So
NEPAs! Hey, we got NEPAs in the house.
That's it, exactly. Let's start with Joe in Scranton, who says, do you, Andy, along with Jim, still believe Drew Aller will not get drafted? Today, meaning whenever this came in, I can't remember which show this was, Jim seemed to change his mind. I think the big problem was James Franklin and the quarterback coach. Drew had footwork issues, but he had the raw talent. It's a weak quarterback class, so it's surprised me that both of you have zero faith in Drew. Since he brought me up, let me clarify. I always felt Drew Aller would get drafted, but maybe very late. Someone would fall in love with his arm strength, his size, those things. I think the other thing that Joe brought up, it's a weak quarterback class.
Very weak.
And the other thing is, we just had the combine. As you pointed out previously, Andy, this is where Drew Aller is going to excel.
Yeah, so, underwear football. He did.
I'll let you take over.
He had a good workout at the combine. It took him a little bit to get his throwing sea legs. Let's be honest. I mean, when he started throwing early, it was pretty ugly. But he found his sea legs. You know, he was probably nervous. He's coming off an injury. He was able to showcase his arm. I still don't think he gets drafted. I really don't. I don't think, because it's a weak quarterback class, I don't think the NFL will see much value in drafting a quarterback in the sixth or seventh round. I just think you're like, we could get him as an unrestricted free agent and we'll take our chances. We don't see him as the future right now or in the very near future. So it's just not a good value proposition to draft a guy like Drew Aller late. You hold on it. Somebody might take that flyer. There is a chance of that, Jimmy, but generally speaking, I don't see him as a draftable NFL quarterback, particularly in a weak draft class.
Andy, I'll take that bet. I think he will get drafted. I think that somebody's going to look at, like I said, the size. There is definitely arm talent there. There is. He's got some of the things. You can't coach 6'5", 230, and you can't coach that arm strength. He's got those things. I think someone will say, you know what? I could teach him the rest. We'll see. All right, let's go to John in Kingston, who says, the best analysis I heard of the new college football world came from Jim. How about that? Earlier this year on one of his other shows, it was along the lines of give me a 24-year-old three-star over a 19-year-old four-star any day.
Amen. Now,
let me, I'll just clarify what I actually did say. I did take the, I will take the compliment. I think it's easier to scout those three stars who've played a couple years of college football and then pick and choose. So it's not like any three-star 24-year-old, but I think there's a whole bunch of them that would be better. So the point John's making is true. That was the point I was headed at. Now, on an earlier show this week, the idea was floated of young players going to a Division II and III to develop. Is college football changing from 18 to 20-year-olds to 22 to 26-year-olds? Will the next thing be not to count the Division II development against your eligibility?
Yeah, John, that's an interesting question. I will say this. With, you know, the transfer portal slash free agency, right? If you look up and down, like when you're looking at, say, we're talking about Big Ten and we did rankings. If you look at the rosters, right? It's in the 20s, Jimmy, across the board, generally speaking. The outlier is sort of Indiana with like 15 transfer portal players. You know, 30s and 40s are not uncommon numbers. Whereas you would think the 30s and 40s would be the uncommon number and the 15 would be the more common. It's reversed. They're looking for developed, realized talent. Because now has become more relevant than a little bit of now, and let's see what we can do tomorrow, right? So I think, I'm just guessing here, John, and this is a good question. I'm just guessing over the next 5 years that recruitable 18 to 20-year-old talent, I think the pool shrinks a little bit. I think recruiting classes go from in the mid-20s to the high teens, right? It's at 6 to 10 players that you're looking for. You would rather take 6 to 10, as you put it, Jimmy, three stars who have become fully realized and they've fully realized talent as four stars over a four-star that is a maybe. So I think there's a little bit of a shift. I think it's going to take at least 5 more years to realize it, but I don't know if Division II and III becomes a pipeline, because then you limit the playing field for kids that can play college athletics, but that's a different conversation. I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
Andy, that's becoming a legal issue, okay? Well, we've seen it already happen. Do those years count against me or not? That will be interesting. But the only thing I will differ with what you said, Andy, is – it's already happening. It's already happening quicker than what you said.
Correct.
You know, let me have the mature, fully developed kid. All right. Let's go a little bit lighter here, Andy. Doug from Massachusetts says, hey, Andy, we know that Jim roots for those hated New York Mets.
He does.
Who do you root for in pro sports and why?
Oh, very interesting question. So give me the sport and tell me where to start. You give me your
sport. Just give me, like, for me, you know, the Mets are my favorite professional team in any sport. That's number one. Number two after that might be the Eagles. So I think, who's your favorite sport team in any sport, Andy?
So my favorite sport team in any sport is the Flyers and NHL hockey. I'm just a huge Flyers fan. Always have been. Love hockey. Love the game. Played it. My son played it. My son's a referee still. I enjoy the game. It's been hard to root for them, but I stay the course. I'm long-term. I go back to not the Cup days, but shortly after the Cup, in the late 70s. So that's when my Flyers started. Philadelphia Eagles, take me to 1980. The Phillies. Excuse me. Take me to Philadelphia Phillies, 1980. Bang. That is why I'm a Phillies fan. So I was a military brat growing up, lived all over the world, didn't really have any assimilation. The Flyers got me because I happened to be in the States and was watching hockey and playing hockey, and I was like, oh, I love this winning streak they're on. 80 Phillies grabbed me baseball, and plus I had to listen to a lot of games on the radio, Harry Callis, one of the greatest ever. So that was baseball. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, huge Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. The creamsicles got me. They had me at hello. And after that, I'm not a college football fan team. I don't really have a team. I'm just a college football fan. I watch anything and everything. So I'm not an NBA guy. I used to be an NBA guy way back when. Used to love college basketball when they had the Big East. It just kind of has waned for me. So those are my top three teams. I'm a Flyers fan. I'm a Bucks fan. And baseball lost me for a while, but the clock has brought me back. I'm now a Phillies fan.
It's interesting, Andy. I used to be a big college hoops fan, and I lived in Philadelphia, and I loved all the Big Five teams and college hoops. Getting a chance to see them live, being able to go to games almost every day there was fantastic. I've kind of lost my love for college basketball. All right, let's move on. Henry in Morristown, New Jersey says, how do you think Matt Campbell will do recruiting the DMV area when he needs to go head-to-head with James Franklin?
Oh, good question. Very good question. I love this question, Henry in Morristown, New Jersey. I don't think he'll step into the ring with him. I think he'll flank him. Because if he really wants a player, he'll go after him, but he won't go after him by stepping into the arena where James would do it. You know what I mean? Like, he won't step into the PR wing. He won't get into a, you know, us versus them type thing. He won't do that. He'll flank him because James is great at marketing. James is great at selling. James is great at recruiting. Why step into his arena where he's great? Why not flank him where he's weak? And he'll flank him where he's weak. He'll lose probably, especially early on in this next year, 18 months. He'll probably lose significantly more than he gains, but he'll set the tone. But it's just Matt is not going to step into James's arena and do battle in his circle or squared circle, if you'd like. He just won't do it. He simply will not engage him that way. He'll figure out other ways to do it, or he'll let James have the big fish that James wants and the way James needs it to happen for James, and then he'll take three of the next four that he wants out of there. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. He'll find other ways to sort of, as they like to say, there's many ways to skin a cat. He'll figure out ways, different ways to make it happen.
Well, I think they prioritize different things in their recruiting. And I think you hit it. James will look for the PR victory. He will look for the one that, it was a recruiting battle, the Vatek versus Penn State, and I won.
He'll take a victory lap. He takes victory laps.
He will revel in it. Whereas I think that Matt Campbell and his crew, they're disciplined. If there's a guy that they're both fighting for, that they both want, I think that Penn State and Matt Campbell will set, here's the value of this guy. We're not going to exceed that. If we don't get him because someone exceeds it, we're okay.
Yep.
Very cold, calculating. I think James he'll extend and overpay someone if it means a PR victory for him.
Amen.
I think that will be the difference between the two. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number three. When we come back, we're going to get back to our rankings, our power ranking of teams, power ranking of coaches in the Big Ten. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We were looking at two different lists, Andy. One of them, the Big Ten team power rankings, the other, the Big Ten coaches ranking. I listed the team rankings, at least the top 10, and think I went all the way through. I gave you just the top couple coaches. Let me go through the top 10. Cignetti from Indiana, Ryan Day, Ohio State, Dan Lanning, Oregon, Kyle Whittingham of Michigan, Kirk Ferentz, Iowa, Jed Fish, Washington, Matt Campbell, Penn State, Lincoln Riley, USC, of Brett Bielema, Illinois, then P.J. Fleck of Minnesota. The next couple are Pat Fitzgerald, Greg Schiano, Matt Rhule, Luke Fickell. In looking at that grouping, coaching, ranking coaches is different than ranking teams. It's not as easy.
Very different, yeah.
But as I pointed out, a lot of these rankings, they just said, oh, how good is the team, and that's where the coaches went. We saw it. Cignetti, Ryan Day, Dan Lanning, the top three. Kyle Whittingham, number four. I got a feeling you're going to agree with that.
No. I'd put him third over Dan Lanning.
Wow.
Yes, I absolutely would. Every day and twice on Sunday. Better football coach. We're talking about a coaching list. Better football coach than Dan Lanning. Better. Look. Everyone thinks I'm going to think I'm an Oregon hater. And one of my dearest friends is an Oregon grad and a huge Oregon Ducks football fan. And he's like, you're not really an Oregon. You don't dislike Oregon. I'm like, no, we spent a lot of time together. And he's like, then I listen to your show sometimes. And it's like you hate the Ducks. And I'm like, no, I just think their coach is overrated and they don't perform in big games. I don't think Dan Lanning is a bad football coach. I just football coach by the measurables that I look at. I think Kyle Whittingham's a better coach than Dan Lanning. I'll give you another one. No way is Kirk Ferentz fit. I know there's longevity and stuff there. There's a lot of horse for the course. I attribute a lot of things. There's a lot of factors that I figure in. No way is he fit. No way is Kirk Ferentz fifth on that list. So I would probably put Kyle Whittingham at third, and I would put Dan Lanning fourth because Dan Lanning knows how to build a lot of things. He just needs some success at the next level to validate the good work that he does underneath. I think he does a lot of good work underneath. I think he needs some success at the next level to validate that. I don't talk about winning a national championship. Maybe you get to a college football playoff semifinal and lose by six in a hell of a football game. That's validation at the next level. You're there. You could compete at that level. Right now, I don't see them competing at that level. Regular season, you don't want to play them. So that's my first start for you, Jimmy. I don't think Kirk Ferentz is fifth. No way, never, not even twice on Sunday. I would put Kyle Whittingham ahead of Dan Lanning. There you go.
Well, apple cart. I think you're both a little bit hard on Oregon and Dan Lanning, and I think you're a little too high on Michigan and Kyle Whittingham. I
go.
Think there's a difference, you know. Hey, I liked him at Utah also. I think he did really well there, probably in a bit of a tough place to recruit. And it'll be interesting to see what he does at Michigan. But there's always that question when going, you know, Luke Fickell, Scott Frost, these guys who've been successful at other programs. And heck, you know, if I'm going to say that, I guess I have to say it about Matt Campbell also. I think he's a great fit at Penn State, but We still have to find out, could he coach at this level?
He can't be number seven. There's no way. He just can't. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Ahead of Lincoln Riley? I mean, that's amateur hour stuff for whoever the Mr. Keeping of the Rankings was here. But, and let me go one step further, Jimmy. I'm not so sure Brett Bielema shouldn't be ahead of both of them, maybe. He's got 19 wins the last two seasons. Matt could be 10th, 11th, 12th. I think that's a fair landing spot. I think, and believe me, as you guys know from listening to this show, I'm the one that was like, what took you so long to pick up the phone and call the guy? He's the right horse for the course. There's so much good, but to put him at seven right now, and he did some great stuff at Iowa State. That's a bridge too far for me. There's no way he can be number seven.
I'm not sure about that. Let me ask you this, Andy. Give me the coaches in the Big Ten who you would take for Penn State ahead of Matt Campbell. I would take Kurt Cignetti. Okay, for
Everybody would take Kurt Cignetti.
Right.
I think two. I could see three other guys, and Kurt Cignetti's on his own, so he's a unicorn. Yeah. Put him out there. I think these other ones would be good candidates, but I don't think they're better than Matt. How's that for you? I think they would be good ones, but I think Penn State's got the right guy. I think Kyle Whittingham would be a good thought at Penn State. I think Pat Fitzgerald would be a good thought at Penn State. I think I think PJ Fleck would be a good consideration for Penn State as well. Those three, I think you could consider them for Penn State. And I say that all again, emphasizing, I still think Matt Campbell is the right guy, the right horse for the course, above those three guys. Kurt Cignetti is your unicorn in the sky that everybody wants, right? Like, what do you fit at Penn State? Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Well, I think some of these guys, Andy, that you mentioned, like Lincoln Riley behind Matt Campbell, you don't like that. I think that Lincoln Riley has not covered himself in glory at USC. I expected a whole lot more from him there than what we got after what we saw at Oklahoma. You mentioned Brett Bielema and also PJ Fleck. I think those two guys are very interesting takes in that how far can you go with Illinois and Minnesota?
Correct. How far can you walk out on the towards the edge of the diving board with them, right? Like, and when I say coaching, look, think of the Big Ten the last 2 years, right? They're very elite at the top. They're not great in the middle. You know, they don't have a lot of depth. So is it kind of a product of the Big Ten not having depth, but being elite, very, very elite at the top? I mean, like I said, you think of Illinois, 19 wins last two years.
I think, Andy,
who wouldn't take that?
The one thing, and I understand why you're saying it, they're so heavy at the top and not so good in the middle. I think the problem with that assessment, though, is we're so used to the names in the Southeast Conference.
Correct.
And we said, oh, there's 10 really good teams. Well, there's 10 teams that were good at some point, okay? You know, we still think of Florida as a major threat because of Florida's history. But where are they now?
The same thing. I don't see them a threat.
Now, Alabama was elite for so very long.
Yeah.
They keep getting the benefit of the doubt, whereas the middle class in the Big Ten doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But what's interesting is over the last couple of years, not only has the Big Ten been winning the national championship, but they've been having tremendous bowl records. They've been winning a lot of head-to-head games with the Southeast Conference that you don't, by name value, you don't expect that. So I think the middle class deserves a little more respect than what you've been giving them, Andy.
On the coaching front, performance-wise, let's get it straight here and finish this. The Big Ten's better than the SEC. top to bottom. The Big Ten is the better conference. The Big Ten is the alpha dog of the conferences right now. The SEC has more depth. The Big Ten is elite. And the Big Ten's problem is Penn State's part of their problem. Elite falling over a cliff. Michigan, scandal, falling over a cliff, right? Coaching change, right? Oregon, close but no cigar, can't compete against other Big Ten teams in the playoffs and get killed. So it's a little bit of their byproduct, but overall, in the spectrum of college football, the Big Ten overall is miles ahead of the SEC on many measurables. The only one is they're just not as deep of a conference at the top. 1 through 7, 1 through 6, you're taking the SEC. 1, 2, maybe even 3, you're taking the Big Ten. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you're taking the Big Ten.
I don't have the games right in front of me, but I think in that next level, you know, 4 to 8, I think the Big Ten teams have been performing better in the bowl games,
one game
interconferences. So, well, you know, but it's been happening now for a couple of years, and the Southeast Conference, I don't want to say that they're a paper tiger. It's not the case, but I think this default of them being so much better than the Big Ten.
They aren't.
They are not. Just real quick, I want to hit some other.
Yeah, sure.
Jed Fish is another one of these names. He's won at multiple places.
Yep.
I think he's ranked fairly high here. I'd take him before I'd take Kirk Ferentz.
100% agree. He's on the cusp, right, Jimmy? He's building. He's close. He's maybe this season, maybe one more season. He's really close to cracking that sort of elite one. And there's one guy in the bottom, right? Like, this is what I get like about the Big Ten. Can I go there, Jimmy? Are you okay with this?
Go real quick, because there's a guy at the bottom I want to go to also. Let's see if we got the same name.
Northwestern coach David Braun, right? Like, where did they rank him on this list? Like, 15th. Come on.
Yes.
The guy's 19-19 as the head coach. They were 7-6 last year. They're a 15, 16, 17, 18 team, but they're 19-19. They're performing so much better. They're punching well above their weight. When you're talking about coaching, you have to recognize that. No way is that guy deserved to be ranked 15th, punching so high above his weight class like that. Sorry, that's my guy. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, I had a guy. I agree with you there. I'm going to pick out Bob Chesney, who they have 17th out of 18. That. And he's a new guy. I don't care. New guy, neutral, no record. That puts you ahead of Mike Locksley in my mind. I'm sorry. I think he has a bit of a track record, and I think he deserves a little bit more benefit of the doubt. All right, Andy, this is a conversation we could go on with for a couple hours. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Andy's going to be off next week. Andy, we're going to miss you again, but we'll see you back in a couple weeks. We'll see all of you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
See ya!
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.